All right. Welcome, everyone, to Time Management Success Secrets Part 2. This is Deanna Mayo, your business growth and marketing strategist, and I'm so excited to be here with you today for the second part of our training to help you to get more accomplished, be more productive, to experience the benefits of having a structure in your business that gives you freedom instead of keeps you under a thumb or under the control of a tyrannical, painful way of doing things. And today we're going to talk about creating systems and habits that really work for you. But before we do, I just want to highlight a couple of things as we begin our time together today. First of all, if you are joining us live, you can join us on the webcast and see the slide portion of our presentation by visiting the URL, tinyurl.com/time-class2, and that's the number 2. And when you visit that page, what you'll see is the opening slide of our presentation for today, and the opportunity to listen or to just view the slides. You can also ask a question on that page by using the Ask a Question feature. You just enter your question, your name, your city, your email, and you can ask me anything at all. This can be an interactive session. I respond really well to feedback, so the more you participate, the more I'm going to give. And if you're listening to the recording, don't forget we've got our Q&A call coming up next week and more information about that available to you as a follow-up to our time together today in the email that I'm going to send. All right, I think that's all of our housekeeping for today, so I think we're going to go ahead and just jump right in and get moving with our training for today. Don't forget, as you have questions, you can ask them via the webcast. You can press star 2 on your telephone keypad to raise your virtual hand and let me know you have a question. Or you can just jot it down if you're listening to the recording and make sure that you bring it to us either live or via our webcast link for our Q&A call next week. All right. Shall we jump in? Shall we get started? All right. So, in last week's program, we really dealt with identifying and strategizing the underlying emotional issues around time management. So today it's time to get down to systems and strategies. Two of my absolute favorite words, systems and strategies. You know, the truth is, a final reason why many people procrastinate has nothing to do with emotional issues or bad habits. It's simply because they don't know how to accomplish any task systematically. And if that's you, you're going to love this section. There are really 4 key steps you need to take every time you begin, and that's to decide whether you're going to delegate, systematize, automate, or delete. Apply these 4 key steps to any task or project you're about to tackle. But first, identifying what has to be done, resisting the urge to wing it, I'm going to encourage you to plan for your project, even if it's only a rough 3-point plan on the back of a cocktail napkin. So let's start by talking a little bit about the very first of those 4 options, and that's delegate. Delegating means giving a task to someone so he or she can perform it for you. And it can be one of the most liberating tactics you'll ever employ. And this goes double for tasks that aren't even related to the one you're trying to tackle immediately. So take, for example, the story I shared last time about the husband who wanted his wife to make a sandwich. One of her options was to advise him to ask an older child in the family to make the sandwich if he didn't have time to do it to himself, you know, for himself. This is pure delegation, and you can use it with family members to free up the time you need for working at home. What I'm going to encourage you to do right now, as a matter of fact, is to take a moment to list all the little duties and chores you currently habitually do yourself that you could effectively delegate to other family members. And I'm going to just be quiet for a moment when you do that. All right. Hopefully you've come up with a couple of ideas there. And it may be that you need to take some more time to do that as well. Whatever the case may be, I want you to, you know, really think about that and decide what's going to work best for you. And, you know, it can be something arbitrary, or you can sweeten the pot a little bit by offering them a reward or even payment for their help. Similarly, you can delegate tasks to outsource contractors. And if you know anything about me, this is a strategy that I absolutely believe in and employ on a regular basis. I mean, why struggle to do your own bookkeeping every Monday afternoon when you can throw all your paperwork, all your invoices, all your receipts into one big envelope marked with your name on it, the month and the year, and hand it over to your bookkeeper once a month? Why drearily load your autoresponder, MailChimp, AWeber, whatever the tool you use for email, when you can hire a virtual assistant who specializes in AWeber to do it for you? Why stick stamps in envelopes for a precious hour when you could bribe your 9-year-old twin to do it in exchange for some extra pocket money? So delegating works best when you can apply the task. It's something someone easily can perform, and easily could mean based on their own skill set, right? What's easy to a 9-year-old is going to be different to what's easy for a virtual assistant. And it's not a key task that only you should have your hands on. You should always delegate tasks that lose you money if you handle them yourself. And an easy tip for this is to ask yourself, how much do you like to charge if you charge by the hour? Now, I know most of you may not charge by the hour. For many of you, I would highly recommend you don't charge by the hour, but each of us has a sense of how much we'd like to earn per hour. If you can pay someone less than your rate per hour to do the task, it's generally a good idea to delegate it. And if you are going to lose money doing it yourself, and that could be that you need to learn a new skill for it in order to handle it, unless that particular skill is going to prove central to your future, or if it's a task you simply just have no liking for, delegate it. Now, there are some tasks that you should never fully delegate. All right, well, maybe never is too strong a word, but there are times when it pays to do it yourself, even if it's something you're not particularly comfortable with. Tasks it's generally best to undertake yourself are ones including building your public persona. No one else can go to an event and be you. Tasks that really showcase your visibility should probably never be fully delegated, though they can be partially delegated, and I'll give you an example of that in a minute. Putting your signature stamp on a project, a product, a program, there's only one you, and no one else can be that you for you. Tasks that need your unique money-making touch, or tasks where you connect personally with your clients or customers. I mean, even with a team, there's something very valuable about still being in contact with your clients and customers. So I told you I'd give you an example. When the second bullet point there, showcasing your visibility, one of those things is social networking. Social networking can be a wonderful strategy for building visibility in your business. And it's my belief that you should never fully delegate it. So let's say instead of you writing updates, going online, posting them at different times during the day, checking friend requests, commenting on people's posts, what if you just had someone draft status updates or tweets for you so that then you could look at them and add your own personal touch? Then you pass them back to that person and they schedule them using a tool like Hootsuite, which we're going to talk about a little bit later. And so you're breaking up the overall project into little pieces, some of which you need to do or you need to review so that it has your signature stamp your special sauce, as some people like to call it, and you're not doing it all yourself. Because anytime you're doing it all on your own, besides the fact that you might not be so good at it and you don't like it, it's easier to make mistakes. And if you're a creative, visionary type of entrepreneur, it can be really easy to overlook the details. Our brains sometimes aren't even really wired for details, and we miss little things like misspellings or broken links. So it's good to have someone else. Another example might be, let's say you were an interior designer. You might delegate assembling swatches of color samples to your assistant, but not until you had sketched the design yourself to give her a framework, you know, a framework with your stamp on it. If you were a gardener who specialized in creating ponds, you might outsource the digging to a hired laborer, but it would be you yourself who selected what type and weight of liner to use, what stones and plants to place, the size of the pump that was needed, even if you sent your assistant off to purchase the pump and the liner after you selected it. See, anything that needs your unique touch should never be delegated unless you've positioned your assistant as an extension of yourself. Like, people should feel that talking to assistant Marty is just like talking to designer Catherine herself. And you should never fully delegate the processes that you enjoy the most, unless you have your eye strictly on profits alone. Otherwise, what's the point of working if you never experience the reward of really being in the flow or being in the zone? All right. So the next of our four steps is to systematize. Let's look at what you need to tweak in order to create the systems that really work for you. The first is your physical space. So most of you are working from home, or you've got an office outside of the home, and you have a space at home that you work in. This is a great time to reevaluate it. What's working for you in your current physical space setup? Do you find you don't get as much work done as you like because your office is so far away from the kids, you're constantly running out to see what they're up to? Maybe you don't get as much work done because your office is in the kitchen and your children, their friends, the dog, the cat are constantly going in and out and chatting to you on the way. Whatever the problem, I want to encourage you to think of a way to fix it. And I believe that whatever the problem is, there is a way to fix it. If you feel you're stuck between a rock and a hard place and you find yourself saying things like there's no place else to work, then look for a third alternative. This actually works really well in any part of our lives. So there's no such thing as the only place to work. You want to think outside the box for a moment. You'll be surprised at the solutions you come up with. The addition of a shelf, moving a dresser out of a room, converting a cupboard to office supply space, all these tricks can work for you. First, however, decide where in the house you most want to work and then make it fit into your plans. Now, a word of warning. I want you to resist the temptation to fuss about your physical space so much that your workload suffers. I know a virtual assistant who actually managed to convince herself that she couldn't work at all until her desk unit that she ordered had arrived. You know, don't slow the flow, but do take time to tweak your physical space so it doesn't slow you down. If you find that you spend 20 minutes a day physically looking for a client CD, or you've lost all your receipts because you thought they were in a pile on top of your printer, it's time to tweak. Lose the printer if you never used it, and put three stacking file trays or an accordion file in that spot instead. You know, affix your monthly bookkeeping envelope open on your bulletin board. Get a bulletin board if visual reminders work for you and online day timers don't. Invest in a simple wall-mounted CD shelf if you need to keep access to the little things over the day and so forth. Creating a streamlined home office shouldn't become another distraction technique to help you procrastinate. But if you've ever, you know, if you're ever going to create the setup you need, now is the perfect time. And to help you with this, we have a worksheet for you. It is our home office makeover worksheet. And it's available in the, or will be available on the members page. And briefly, it just asks you to brainstorm a little bit about your home office. So what is it I like about my home office? Why does it work for me? what do I need to buy or create? What doesn't work for me? What's the problem with it? What do I need to lose or get rid of? And just asking these six questions can be really powerful for setting up a system, you know, having your physical space systematized. All right, I'm going to take a moment here to take a breath, check the webcast, Q&A. Also to check and see who's on the phone live. And remember, if you have a question you'd like to interact, all you have to do is press star 2 on your telephone keypad to raise your virtual hand. Or if you're on the webcast, you can use that ask a question button anytime to let me know you're here, ask a question, share a comment, whatever it might be that you would like to do. All right. Second thing around systematizing that I have just found to be massively powerful is your business plan. And I don't mean the plan that you put together in the very beginning so that you can get funding or investing. I'm talking about something very simple. Where do you want to be this time next year, in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years? You cannot run an effective business unless you know who you are and where you're going. You know, you want to have a mission or purpose statement for your business, and it can reflect any of the following: your personal goals, what you want to provide for your clients, your values. And be specific. Don't just write to help my client succeed. You know, state your intent for that client. If you are a web designer, you might say, to make each website speak with my client's voice and showcase who he or she is. More important than anything, though, your mission statement, your business plan should really resonate with you. It's a tool for you. It should inspire you, encourage you to keep going when things are tough. And, you know, if you can include pictures, so much the better. So I want to encourage you to really create a business plan. And I don't even mean something fancy. I mean a piece of paper with your business goals written down on it that you can change as new information comes in or as client needs morph into something else. I mean, unless you're applying for business loans, your plan doesn't have to be detailed. Think of it more like a statement of intent. And don't be intimidated. You can write a plan in 5 minutes if you can be succinct. You can always add to your plan later, and you can delete things that no longer work. The haziness in planning causes more failure than any other single cause. At the very least, failing to plan results. You never maximize your true business potential, and you'll never be making as much money as you could if your focus is clearer. So write that mission statement. Write that business plan with your goals on it, your values on it, and pin it to that new bulletin board. Okay. The next piece is on tracking and documentation. So now that you have a mission statement and a business plan, you need to document your processes. A couple of these that you might want to consider are writing your terms and conditions if you deal directly with clients, writing policies for new customers. And I highly recommend documenting your own internal procedures if you're planning to outsource any portion of your workload ever. Now, if your business is fairly new, you may find you're changing systems as you work. And that's okay. You know, documenting these allows you to create manuals for contractors or staff in the future and tracking your results. Tracking your results is essential, and you can bleed huge amounts of money or opportunities if you're not tracking a couple key things. So I want to share with you a couple things you need to track. How long processes take and the steps and the tasks that go into them. So let's say it's new client onboarding. You know, what happens after you get a new client or customer? What's the process? What has to happen? And how long should each one take? For those same processes, how much you spend on them, including any hidden costs. So not just how long it takes, how much of your time it takes, if you're billing your client for that time, what's your bill rate, if there are things that you're buying for the client, how much those cost. You want to track any resources you have to purchase or use every month. You want to track how much you make from each project or client and what your actual profits are. Now, one other good reason to track, this allows you to see exactly where you're losing money if you're losing it. So, for example, you may start tracking it and realize you only make $50 an hour when you design website headers. You actually lose money when you create custom buttons, or that you make your money most when you write articles for your clients, and you lose it when you create custom graphics. This helps you know with real confidence what you should be outsourcing and what you need to focus on doing yourself, or services you might want to add or cut. It also allows you to gain a realistic overview and brainstorm effectively. You know, because tracking and documenting can help you effectively see some really important stuff. Your patterns, your work habits, and where they could be tweaked. Your clients' patterns. You can create packages that they love and where you earn more money. You'll see where you lose money. You'll see where you make your most money. And you can see what can be repurposed. You know, that is sold more than once in a different way. And you want to look for anything that really interrupts the flow and brainstorm the best way for you to overcome that. It might be your big client's habit of always wanting revisions at the last minute, right before you're about to start another client's project. It might be that you always have to leave and take the kids to hockey right before an important monthly deadline that leaves you feeling stressed. It might be that it simply takes too long to write those blog posts yourself, or it might be the hour you always spend searching for receipts for your bookkeeper. Those glitch spots are going to be different for every person, but if you're getting in the habit of strategic thinking and you'll have a good overview of your business goals and where the glitches are, then you'll find it much easier to brainstorm your way past the problem. Another source of interrupting the flow is distractions, interruptions, whether that's telephone calls, email demands, questions from clients, or the cat throwing up on the rug. There's a lot of them out there. So I want to help you to start to minimize those interruptions, because that's a big part of keeping control of your time. So the first is to identify the cause. Identify potential problems. Are clients coming to you with customer service issues because you forgot to direct them to your virtual assistant? Did you educate them to think that, you know, she speaks with your voice and responds as you would? Would a babysitter solve the 2 hours you lose after the kids get home from school? Could your oldest child cook supper the day before your big weekly deadline, or could she be responsible for at least ordering the pizza and accepting the delivery? Maybe it's a questionnaire that would solve the problems of clients who don't know what to tell you, don't know what to expect. You know, sending each new client your standard questionnaire could help you to identify potential problem areas, reduce the risk of losing money, identify common needs, let them know what they can expect from you, and guide your clients through the process of communicating what they want from you. So those are just some ideas on how you can look for anything that's going to interrupt your flow. Another thing that's important to keep in mind is our fourth strategy, and that's to automate. I'm a big believer in automation because outsourcing won't always be the best strategy for dealing with time-consuming areas of your business that lose you money. Automating as much of your business as you can will help you to streamline it. And you don't want to automate things. You don't want to outsource things that you can automate most of the time, because outsourcing will generally cost more. Not that it has to cost a lot. I mean, you can get interns to work with you for no cost whatsoever. And if the concept of working with interns is of interest to you, I want to encourage you to get my free email course at www.getfreehelpwithinterns.com. Working with interns can be a valuable strategy, but even outsourcing to paid contractors can cost very little, as little as like $5. Or you can find someone to work with you for a period of time, you know, for a certain number of hours every month for very little money, especially if you are you've got systems in place and materials that you can share with someone so they can do those tasks for you over and over and over again. But I want to share with you 6 ways to really automate your business that I believe in fully and know can help you to streamline and have less stress. So the first is to get an autoresponder and use it. An autoresponder will help you to build your email list, but only if you populate it with content. So you can hire a virtual assistant or a content writer who specializes in autoresponder management if you like, and brainstorm a plan to build your list with her. Or you can buy content, an email series relevant to your business, and quickly customize it and load it up so that people signing up for your top 10 tip sheet or your free ebook will stay in touch with you while you're actually off doing other things. There's a concept called private label rights, or PLR for short. And when you can buy private label rights materials, articles, blog posts, and email series relevant to your business that you can customize and use. Make it sound like you, and then you've got content going out to your list. People are hearing from you. You're staying top of mind for them. I also want to encourage you, if you don't have an autoresponder or an email system set up yet, don't waste time trying out something for free, or rather a free autoresponder. So no matter how much of a shoestring budget you're on, most of these free services, not only do they serve up ads that will annoy your list, as well as potentially steal business from you, but the lack of support usually ends up leading to a glitch. You won't be able to export your list when you want to move to a better system, and you will down the road. So, when you use a tried and true autoresponder like Aweber or MailChimp, it allows you to take advantage of built-in features you want and need as you grow more familiar with the benefits of keeping in touch automatically. And best of all, most of these autoresponder companies provide plans that start at just $20 a month. It's one of the best investments you'll ever make if you do business with people where you want to stay in touch with them, which, FYI, that's every business. And I will have links for you for some of the tools that I recommend so that you can try them out. The second way I want to encourage you to instantly automate your business is by automating your purchases. Now, you can do this in several different ways. The important thing is to find the best one for your business and the way you work and implement it. You can choose the shopping cart system. You can use PayPal. There's even a Facebook app that allows you to take payments. Or you can put your items into a system that handles all the payment processing for you. But you want people to be able to buy from you without you being involved directly. So like I said, whether that's a shopping cart system, PayPal, or something else, you want to try to find a way to have people be able to buy from you automatically. Another way to instantly automate your business is to make use of apps and plugins. With the astonishing variety of software and plugins available today, there's no excuse for not putting these to work for your business. I mean, you can coordinate your home business with your smartphone through apps on it that allow you to handle email just as easily if you were home with your computer, schedule meetings, check your calendar, access PayPal to check your figures. If you're selling online, use Skype on your iPhone. You can also use cloud computing, online storage and sharing to help you run your business or check on project statuses while you're away from your desk. And there are 6 popular apps you might particularly appreciate. The first is Google Calendar. Oh, Lordy, do I love Google Calendar. You can use this as your general calendaring system, both on your computer and most smartphones. And you're not limited to one calendar either. You could create a calendar for each project, one for your personal life, one for your business. Whatever type of calendar you dream up, this is a really easy and powerful app that will help you keep the big picture in mind at all times, and it's free. Even if you like to keep a paper calendar, Google Calendar can be a useful tool for sharing important dates with your list, with your community, and if you have a theme, with your team. Key milestones or dates can be shared with them. Another tool that I absolutely love is Teamwork PM. This is the ultimate cloud-based online project and task management system. You can set it up so that your outsourced team or even your clients could upload work and project requests directly to your account, giving you an instant overview of where any project is at, as well as what upcoming deadlines there are. Plans currently range, excuse me, everybody. Pardon me, I'm sneezing. Plans for Teamwork PM range in price, and you can get started and stay with their free account and manage three projects. Now, if you're just starting out and you really just need online file storage more than anything, I recommend Dropbox for that. They have some, you know, really good flexible options for online storage. But if you're looking for a way to manage projects, manage tasks, and get away from delegating tasks to your team or your contractors by email or just keeping a paper list, I love Teamwork PM. It's my number one online tool right now. Probably will stay that way because it has just changed my life for knowing exactly what needs to get done and when and by when and by whom. Another tool to automate your business is FreshBooks. This is an invoicing and billing system. It integrates with PayPal. It allows you to bill people, invoice them. So if that's how you get money from your clients, you can handle up to 25 clients a month for only $19.95. Or if you just have a few clients that you work with where you invoice them, they have a free option that allows you up to 3 clients, which is great if you're just starting out for free. It also allows imported data and reports. So it's a wonderful system for tracking your costs and your profits. I'm also a big fan of PayPal. Yes, there are PayPal apps for your iPhone, your Android, your BlackBerry, allowing you to view and manage your account no matter where you are. If you're not taking online payments at this point, I highly recommend that you get started with PayPal so you can take credit cards and debit cards online. The next one is Payment, which is PAYYMENT, so pay with two Y's. This is a Facebook app that allows you to take payments directly from your Facebook page. You know, you want to check Facebook's policies before you install it because they change all the time. There are also several more Facebook apps like Facebook Causes and Networked Blogs that could be of benefit to you. And there are hundreds of specialty apps you can easily find. Two that I really love are My Sticky, which is a relatively new app that allows you to place sticky notes on web pages as well as your desktop. Right now it only works with Firefox, but it's free. And they do have a donation button if you choose to, if you want to show your support, since it is a free option. There's also TimeTrade. And I love TimeTrade. TimeTrade is such a wonderful tool. It has saved me so much time over the last, 3 years I've been using TimeTrade now. It might even be longer. TimeTrade has a free iPhone scheduling app. And this eliminates multiple calendars and allows people to schedule time with you at the times you say you want to be available. And if you use your Google Calendar or Outlook Calendar, it syncs with those calendars to know when you're busy. So it won't double book you, which I love. And people can see your availability, but without knowing what else it is that you're doing. So let's say I'm going to go get a pedicure tomorrow. I don't want to be available for a private coaching session with one of my platinum clients. It won't book me because I've said I'm going to be at my pedicure. But they don't know that. They just know I'm busy. They don't even see that the time's available. The other thing I really like about TimeTrade is then you don't have to play this back and forth email game, which I cannot stand. You know, it's like, what time are you free? Well, I'm free this date and this time. Well, that's not going to work for me. I'm free at this date and this time. Oh, I'm sorry, that's not going to work. What time zone did you say? And it's just a huge waste of time. Now, if you use WordPress for your website or maintain a blog, you can easily install free plugins that will help you to better manage that tool. And I'm not going to get into, you know, all the kinds of free plugins that are available right now. They can easily be found and installed through your WordPress dashboard, which allows you to search WordPress.org for plugins. You can also purchase premium plugins, but there are so many great plugins that are free that I, you know, you really want to just check that out first. And if you have questions about that and you've got a web person in place, ask them. You know, if not, you can bring those questions to our Q&A call next week as well. I am a WordPress junkie. I love it. I know a lot about it. So if you use that tool and you want to find ways to help you organize or automate your business through WordPress, let me know next week. The key is, no matter what kind of apps or plugins you choose to use, don't be dazzled by all the bells and whistles. Just pick only the ones specific to your business needs. You know, one calendar app, one project management app, one invoicing system, and then use them. Because if you don't use them, there's no point. There's absolutely no point. You'll be wasting your time and energy. And that's exactly what we're trying to avoid. Right? All right, I'm going to just take a sip of tea here real quick. Feels like it's quite dry here today. It's funny to say that about the Pacific Northwest. Seems like it's never dry. All right, next. Automating your social networking. Now, I spoke to this a little bit earlier, but I wanted to provide you with some very specific tools and techniques because social networking can be such a valuable tool for our businesses, and it can easily get out of control. We can spend so much time on social networking that we don't end up getting enough of anything else done. So I'm going to encourage you to save time with social networking by using dashboard or scheduler tools like Hootsuite, TweetDeck, Buffer, and Seismic. And these are just, you know, four examples that I really like. But they allow you to pre-schedule your posts. You can post to as many or as few social networks as you like with just one click. You can instantly check for posts that have been shared or retweeted or responses to your posts. And it's nice to keep the personal touch in social networking, which is essential if you're branding yourself rather than just a product or a business. But these dashboards can help you save a ton of time. And like I said before, you don't have to write all these status updates or tweets. You can find outsourced contractors or interns to do that for you. Then you approve them, they upload them and schedule them, and then they're going out to your community without you having to do the whole thing, which is really nice. It's a huge benefit to not have to manage it all yourself, especially if you're like me, you're highly creative, and sometimes, you know, details, crossing T's, dotting I's isn't your thing. Which for me, it's not. I'll just be really honest. I'm not a detail-oriented person most of the time. So having someone to help me with things like that is really valuable. And then the last of the four steps, the one that I really want you to most consider utilizing, is delete. A final way to streamline, declutter, and ultimately save time in your business is deleting all your baggage, the extra stuff, both online and offline. So let's talk about offline decluttering first. If you haven't used that reference book on your shelf forever, remove it. Donate it. Get rid of it. Give it to a client. Give it to a friend. Take it to Goodwill, Salvation Army, wherever. Make space for another book that's handier. Say your company manual, you know, the one you've been putting together as you document your processes, right? If you never use that printer because you work 100% online, donate it. Get rid of it. If your desk is overwhelmed with mountains of papers, put them all in a box and schedule a day to go through them. Throw out everything you don't need. If you're a information junkie, who collects dozens of magazines because each one contains one or two articles you might want to refer back to. Save space and declutter your mind by cutting out the article you need and filing it away. You can do that alphabetically, you could do it by magazine, or you could do it by specialty subject, which I think is probably better. If you've got that bulletin board, remove any notes on it that don't matter anymore. Throw out outdated CDs, especially if you have ones that don't load well anymore. You know, wash those coffee cups, get things off of your desk, and declutter. Now, your desk may not have gotten to a bad state of chaos, but you get my point. If you have stuff in your home office that you don't need, get rid of it. And while we're at it, declutter your desk with all those computer cords. Go wireless on things like headphones, keyboards, mice if you can. And if you still have cords, tie them together with those plastic twisty ties, and that'll help keep everything organized. Then there's digital and online decluttering. The best way to start? Unsubscribe from all those marketers who you're on their list and you don't even remember why you're on it anymore. Not only will this prevent your inbox from becoming quickly inundated and overwhelming, but you won't be tempted to buy ebooks you don't need, which of course is another source of hard drive clutter. Take a date on your calendar and every day, week, or month, delete extra notepad notes, stickies, or emails. Clean up your contact files and your address books by removing people who are no longer part of your life. If you use Gmail, set up filtering. Put it in place so that things that don't need to stay in your inbox get out of there. And if you are one of those people that suffers from anxiety when you start to get rid of stuff, I've got a tip for you. Put all that discarded physical stuff in a big cardboard box. Keep it, but fold it up, tape it closed, and put the date on it for 1 month from today. Then, when you go back to the box a month later, if you haven't needed to open it for any reason, throw it out. Same works for getting rid of clothes, too. If you're one of those people and you think, gosh, I might want to wear that again someday, but I don't know. Take those items, put them in a box, tape it closed, put a date on it for 6 months or even a year, whatever time period feels right for you. And if you haven't had it into the box by the time that date rolls around, don't even open it. Just put it in the back of your car and take it straight away to Goodwill or Dress for Success or some sort of organization where you can donate stuff. You know, if you experience digital deleting anxiety, copy those files onto a memory stick, a USB flash drive, and then put it in a drawer. You know, set a time limit. And if you haven't accessed those files by that date, delete them and then reuse the stick. Now, some of you have client files. You have paper files you keep for clients. My recommendation is you don't delete those ever. You never know when you might want to need to refer back to them, look up maybe an estimate you did, and find information for your bookkeeper. You might use their project as a template, or you might have to settle some sort of dispute. Keep records on your computer, and maybe keep the last 3 years worth, and then anything earlier can get stored on a memory stick or in Dropbox or something else. And just make sure you're backing up your computer. There is no bigger time sucker besides procrastination as if you lose all your files because your computer died. Use Dropbox, use Mosey, use some sort of tool to back up what's on your computer. Because if you have a hard drive crash, well, it's been proven. Like 50% of businesses don't ever come back from it. It's just too devastating. So finally, you want to make sure that you're putting all these tips and strategies that I've shared into use by scheduling time daily and start implementing them. You could try setting up Monday to be your physical office and, you know, evaluation and decluttering day. So every Monday you look at your physical space. Maybe Tuesday is your digital decluttering day. Wednesday is your social networking streamlining day, where you write your tweets, your status updates, schedule them for the next week. You know, you might have to make it a week-long or a two-week project to set all this stuff up, but then you just have to maintain it and do a little bit every day or a little bit every week. And you may feel like you're losing time every day by tackling these chores, but the truth is you'll permanently gain time that can just be priceless to you. If you're ever tempted to abandon the effort, just ask yourself, what can I do with an extra hour a day, an extra afternoon a week, an extra day a month? And you will keep yourself coming back to these strategies, trying new ones. And for the most part, it's not even trying new ones. It's putting back into habit, back into place, the ones that you know used to work for you and you just got out of the habit. Okay, I'm going to check the webcast to see if we have any questions from our webcast participants. I'm also going to check and see if we have any people on the phone. Okay, no questions. All right. So we're ready to start closing up our time together for our second training call for Time Management Success Secrets. What I want to leave you with is no time management app or system will really work until you make it, until you make it work. You turn it into what's going to work for you. And I want you to remember, you can't manage time. You can only manage yourself, which means you might need to say no to things more often. Remember we talked about boundaries in our first training session? You might need to spend a little bit of time getting things in your home office, on your hard drive, your social networking set up. But once you've got it in place, it's so much easier to maintain. So my recommendations for your field work this week is to try tackling a few of these little chores over time. And if you get tempted to abandon the effort, or if you find yourself distracted and you're not getting to things, just ask yourself, what could I do with an extra hour a day or an extra day a month? And that will help to inspire you to put a few of these tips and strategies into place in your business. I also want you over the next week to think about what are the unique questions or challenges or opportunities you have with your own time management and bring those to our Q&A call next week. We'll be sending out an email link where you can submit those questions by webcast ahead of time to make sure you're on the agenda, or you can bring them live to the call. You definitely want to be on the call live to ask me your time management questions and get personalized support, customized answers just for you, so that you can really start to build success with your time management. All right, everyone. Just checking the webcast and the live call one more time to make sure there's no questions. Okay. If you have questions, don't hesitate to reach out. You can email us anytime at helpdesk@deannamayo.com. And we will be back with you next week for our live Q&A call. You're not going to want to miss that. If you have any questions at all, please don't hesitate to reach out to me and the team. We're here for you. We want to see you be successful with your time management and really start to implement the four keys to mass productivity for you. So I wish you a great rest of your day, an awesome rest of your week. Go out there and make it a great day for yourself. And while you're at it, see if you can't make it a great day for somebody else too. All right, take good care, everybody. Bye-bye.